Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 320, stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. Ye gates of peace and joy untold, ye gates of righteousness unfold, and that I may enter in and raise a song of thankfulness and praise. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 320.
portion of God's word that we wish to read together, you can find in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 14, beginning by verse 13 through 48. But first we will read the 12 articles of our holy, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke chapter 24, beginning by verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these, that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came, saying that they also had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and had appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus speak, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and afraid, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish, and of a honeycomb, and he took it, and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and as it behooves Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, eternal, and long-suffering God of the heavens and of the earth, it is in this day that once again for a second time we may be gathered together under thy long-suffering. For thou knowest that we are not worthy of the least of all thy notice or attention, and yet thou bearest with us that we may be continued yet a little while here upon this world, and that we also may come up unto thy house, may it be, where repentance and remission of sins may also be preached unto us, that we may be given a need, therefore, that we may be given to see how that we have no repentance in and of ourselves, and that we may be given that repentance by thee, while that it is still called today, we may hear of those that were able to commune about things from heart to heart, that had to do with thee and with the great need that was in their soul. O Lord, that we may not be strangers of the matters which we can read from the beginning to the end of thy word. There were many riddles that were living in the hearts of thy disciples in those days. And thou knowest where that thy disciples are also in this day, when the riddles they are also even today living in the hearts of thy people. Oh, that there may be also answers, solutions that are given unto thy church by thee, that thou wouldst deliver them from all their troubles. And when it is a day of great gladness, a day of great joy that we may commemorate in this day, And may it be also experienced to be so in our midst, amongst young and old, that thou wouldst give thy people to enter a little into the great blessings that thou hast laid away for thy church, that there may be an experiencing of those matters which the Holy Ghost is alone able to show unto us. Then it is not merely a matter of our mind, but that it may be a matter that may be experienced in our hearts. Do look upon us in this afternoon. Be with all those that need thee in special ways, those that do mourn the losses of their loved ones. And also when these losses have taken place in the past, wilt thou remember thou in mercy all those that do mourn, and supply in all the loneliness which is experienced from day unto day. And wilt thou look upon the sick, wilt thou teach us all to number our days, and to apply our hearts unto wisdom, that these matters which we may consider in these days may be bound upon our hearts when we may feel something of the weakness of the body, of the mind, that man goeth unto his long home, and that we may be prepared to meet thee with our children, our loved ones in peace, in that great and notable day. Wilt thou remember us in this afternoon? O Lord, we are together for a few moments. Could it please thee to strengthen us to do this work, that in this afternoon we may be enabled to speak yet a little to this our congregation, and that thou thyself would open thy word, that it may not be a dead letter unto us. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 29, all the stanzas. To thee, O Lord, I fly, and on thy help depend. Thou art my Lord and King most high. Do thou my soul defend. We wish to remind the young people of the next youth group gathering this coming Saturday at 7:30 p.m. in the Lethbridge Church. Psalter 29, all the stanzas, and the last collection today is for our school. beloved congregation, it is a special day. A day wherein we may consider the rising again of the Son of God from the dead. And we may consider it in many respects. We may consider it with respect to its history. We may consider the doctrines that are contained therein. And we may consider the experiences of the church of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. But the Apostle Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And we can know so much in our mind, and we ought also to study it, young people. But we need in a special way to know the resurrection of Christ in its power. What is power? Power that is the ability to bring forth something. That is, that it would have an effect. Thus, to know Christ in the power of his resurrection, that is to know the effect of that resurrection for the need of our own soul. And thus we have heard something in this morning of the power of that resurrection in the life and in the soul of Mary. There is great power in the resurrection of Christ. That is, in the first place, in the resurrection itself, because it is over against death, and we have no power over death. There is no man, we read in God's word, that has discharge in that war. And when our loved ones, they are brought to the grave, then we feel and then we know that we have no power against that grave. And thus we feel something when we commemorate the resurrection of Christ, of the great power that there was in that resurrection, when both the enemy and even hell itself has attempted to keep him in that grave and was not able. But there is also so much power in the fruits of the resurrection of Christ. Do you ever feel this? Because coming out of the resurrection as a fruit is, in the first place, regeneration. And there are those of you that, at least in an outward way, do desire that that regeneration may take place in your own life. And you feel the inability to resurrect your soul from the dead. And so the fruit of the resurrection of Christ, that is so very, very powerful, justification, the forgiveness of sin. How many do feel the necessity but the inability to give unto yourselves this great, this most necessary blessing, sanctification, to cleanse? Why did Paul say, O wretched man that I am? Because it is a power that did not lie in his own ability. And when we think about our own resurrection in that last day, what that shall be when the entire world will rise from the dead, and when God's church shall have victory over all the enemies, then these are things whereof the church does experience that they have no power. But it is a church that is receiving these blessings out of the power of Christ's resurrection. And we wish, with the Lord's help, for a few moments in this afternoon to consider this out of the words of our text. That can be found in Luke 24, the verses 41 to 43. Luke 24, verses 41 to 43. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. So far the words of our text, which do speak of a blessed confirmation of the resurrection of Christ. And we want to see this in two thoughts. First, the need for this confirmation. We see that in the first part of verse 41, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered. And in the second place, we see the manner of this confirmation. He said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of fish, a broiled fish, and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And thus a blessed confirmation of the resurrection of Christ, the need for and the manner of this confirmation. And while they yet believed not, we read here in the Word of God, while they yet believed not, that is that wretched unbelief. To what sin can we compare unbelief? Because unbelief that is striking at God Himself, that strikes at His truth, that strikes at His faithfulness, that strikes at all of the goodness of the Lord, all of the graces of the Lord, the past goodness, the promises of the Lord, that is all stricken by this unbelief. Unbelief is the cause that we read the children of Israel and many that came out of the land of Egypt, they never entered into the land of Canaan. That is what Moses writes, that they entered not in because of unbelief. There were not all Israel, which are of Israel. Unbelief. That is the cause that we read of the Jews, that they were as a nation broken off. It will be the cause that the greatest part of this world also will receive an eternal condemnation, unbelief. But what we read here that there is unbelief even within the true church of God. It says, and while they yet believed not, who is they? That is here the 11 disciples. And we read those that were with them. Thus, called by grace, instructed by the Lord, wrought upon by the Spirit of the Lord, led by Christ, instructed, taught by Him, called even as the ministers of the Lord, and yet we read, they believed not. That's what we read, young people. That we read something very different than what we hear around us in the world in which we live. That it is a people, the true people of the Lord you read about here, the disciples of the Lord, that do not have that faith, as it were, in their pockets, that they are able to just grab it and to exercise it any time that they would wish, and while they yet believed not. Does that make them then as the unbelieving Jews? Because what did the Lord Jesus say to the Jews? He said, "Ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep." How often does that accusation not come into the heart of God's people? Ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. You actually have nothing but a form of religion. You actually are not one of my own. It is with you but common grace. You have received it but in your understanding, and thus you have not faith. There are different kinds of faith. There is a historical faith. There is a temporary faith. There is miraculous faith. And there is true saving faith. And all those faiths, they are not to be painted with one brush. And thus it is also with unbelief. Not all unbelief is to be painted with one brush. Because that unbelief that is still remaining in that true church that we read of here, that is not the same as the unbelief that is to be found in those unbelieving Jews. And why not? Because there is a state of unbelief, and there is also a condition of unbelief. And that condition of unbelief that has rather to do with its exercise than with its actual existence in the heart of his people. Thus, the remnants of that unbelief that are living yet and remaining in the heart of that people, they are a grief unto that people. The disciples were not glad with it. The disciples asked the Lord themselves, they said, "Lord, increase our faith." So that unbelief that lived in their heart, that was a grief to them, it was a sorrow to them. But that is not so with those that live in that state of unbelief. There is also a great difference in the reason for unbelief. Because we read here, "And while they yet believed not, for joy and wondered." There was a reason they did not believe. They did not believe because they could not believe. Not because of the hardness of their heart. It was not because they had a rebellious heart. It was not because they did not love the Lord. But it was a weakness that was in them. It was an inability to believe because the wonder that they perceived before them was so great that it was unbelievable for them. Consider that one that we had loved that would rise from the dead. Well beyond our expectation. We must remember that these disciples did not expect the Lord Jesus to come again to life. And then all these things, they have happened in just such a short time. So that even their very minds, their very human minds, they had very little time to consider what had and what was taking place. And while they yet believed not, was it then not sinful for those disciples, Mark writes that the Lord Jesus upbraided them for their unbelief and for their hardness of heart, because he said they believed not them which had seen him after that he was risen. Indeed, we read here, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered. Thus it says, yet. That means, even after everything that had taken place, they still did not believe what had taken place. Well, the Lord Jesus had spoken to them about this resurrection. But the disciples of the Lord had no ears for it. And why not? It was because of prejudice. It was because the disciples did not want to hear of the way that the Lord Jesus said that he would have to go. And that was a way in which not only he would have to go, but it was a way which they also themselves would have to follow. But the disciples of the Lord, they had no desire to hear about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore also the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, that was an instruction that was not received by them. How much instruction that is given unto that true church of God is not received by them because of the way that the Lord says that they must go, but they don't believe it. The Lord says that it must be through a way of trial. It must be through a way of affliction. It will be through much tribulation that they must enter into the kingdom of God. But what does each one think? Well, that will be for my neighbor, that will be for this one, that will be for that one. And they cannot imagine how that way, that will be such a way of trial, such a way of tribulation for them. And thus, the disciples also, when they were instructed by the Lord Jesus, and then when the Lord Jesus is proceeding with that way that he says, and when the Lord is bringing that church through that way, it is a way of oppression. It is a way through the valley of humiliation. And when the Lord, he is leading that church then through that way, then they are missing instruction. They are missing that instruction that the Lord Jesus, he has spoken unto them. But the disciples, when he is laying there in the grave, then they cannot think about his resurrection because they have not received the instruction concerning his death. So they have not received the instruction concerning his resurrection. And therefore, when they need it even the most, then the disciples of the Lord, they have it not. It is no wonder they are downcast. It is no wonder they are so dejected. It is no wonder that they are actually in despair. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, yet, that is even after the women, as we have heard, the women, they have returned and they have told them of the resurrection. We can read about Simon, we have heard of this, that it sounds as if even some of them, that unbelief has begun to break somewhat. Because when these men of Emmaus have returned to them, then we can read that there are at least some, and they say, the Lord, he has risen indeed, and hath appeared unto Simon. And then these men, we have heard that they told what things were done in the way and how that he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And while they are speaking of these things, then suddenly we read, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. Thus suddenly, the Lord, he comes. Suddenly, when they are gathered together, suddenly in their riddles, suddenly while that they are communing with one another, that is often the way. And that the Lord, when his people, they are busy with these things, that the Lord, he is coming in the midst of them to appear unto them, to speak unto them, to show himself, to reveal himself to them. And thus we also see it here. Thus it is one thing that they are told by one another. It is one thing that they may believe what someone else has spoken. But the Lord Jesus, he appears unto them for a reason. And what is that reason? That is that he may ground them himself in that truth, in which he understands, which he knows that they need to be grounded, that they may see him for themselves. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And so they see him. But now they question, even when they have seen him, and when the Lord makes them an eyewitness of him, so that they would be able to speak of what they have seen unto other persons, then, even then, these disciples are questioning what they have seen. They are asking, is that really real? Is that really the Lord Jesus himself? Or have I seen a vision? Have I seen a spirit? And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? That is the question of Christ to his own doubting disciples. Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Congregation, do you also have trouble? Do you also have thoughts that arise in your hearts? Are they the same troubles as we can read here were troubling the disciples? Are they the same thoughts that are arising in your hearts as were arising in the hearts here of his own people? Why are ye troubled? Are ye troubled because you say, is it really true? Is that really what I have seen? Is that something that was really from the Lord? Or was that just an apparition? Have I seen something in the way of my own imagination? Is this something that is just a result of my upbringing? Do I take something of the Lord Jesus unto myself that does not belong to me? Thus trouble, thoughts arising in the hearts of God's own people. If that is really true, that what I have seen was from him, if it was really the revelation of himself, then why is there so a little change, it seems, in my life? Why is it that I receive so little benefit of it? Why is it that I have still such a worldly heart? Why am I so carnal? Why am I not heavenly minded? why art thou troubled? Oh, then you say, O Lord, why am I troubled? 'Tis the point, O Lord, I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not? Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? That trouble was a grief. That was a grief unto the Lord Jesus Himself. He is the sympathizing high priest. The Lord Jesus, He would take that trouble away from His disciples. What do we read? Behold, He says, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. What does the Lord Jesus do? He speaks to His disciples in their troubles, and then He gives them evidences. He comes again, He reveals Himself, and He gives them new evidences of His suffering, new evidences of His death, and then in the light of His resurrection. Did the Lord ever so come to you in your trouble? When the thoughts did arise in your hearts, or when you needed that the Lord would confirm His own work, that the Lord would say unto you, even as He said unto the disciples, look and see that really it is I myself, that I have spoken these words unto you, and that I have shown myself unto you. Did the Lord ever come again? Did the Lord ever reassure your heart with that confirmation that you could not miss from Him? Did the Lord ever lead you a little deeper, a little further into His mediatorial work, that you may see it also in the light of the resurrection from the dead? This congregation is so necessary for His church. And why? Well, what we read here, after all this, what the Lord Jesus has done, after what He has spoken to them before, after what they have heard also from others, after the Lord, He has shown to them His hands and His feet, even after all this, that we read, and yet, while yet they believed not for joy and wondered. Thus, even after He reassures them, yet that unbelief, yet something of that unbelief that is still living in their heart, is that to their comfort? No. That is not their desire. But what is the experience? The experience is that with all their desire, they are not the author of faith, but that faith that is a gift of the Lord, that is a gift in its essence, that is a gift in its exercise, and that is not only for the first time in their life, but that is time and again by renewal. Let us sing Psalter 92, stanzas 3 and 8. My soul is joyful in the Lord. In His salvation I rejoice. To Him my heart will praise accord and bless His name with thankful voice. And what follows in 3 and 8 of Psalter 92. congregation, what do we read of Gideon? We read that the Lord spoke to him, and he performed very wondrously. He gave him a charge, and then he may see the divinity when that angel did make that sacrifice to consume in a flame out of the rock. He was commanded to throw down the altar of the Lord. He did so. When did he do it? Say he did it by night. That is right. Why? Because he was afraid. Say he was commanded by the Lord, and yet he did it by night. We read the Spirit of the Lord then came upon him. Say that man, he should have been filled with faith. He blew the trumpet, gathered the tribes of Israel, and then he went on his knees. And then he said, Lord, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, if that wretched unbelief, then let the dew be on the fleece, bowl full of water. Enough? O Lord, do not be angry at me, and I will speak but this once. Let the dew be on the ground. And the Lord did so that night. Oh, the goodness of the Lord. And then to give to him what he did not ask. Because if thou still fearest, then go down to the host and listen to what they say. And then your hands, they shall be strengthened. And indeed so it was. Now tell me, young people, where faith comes from. Where does it come from? It does not come from God's people. And yet, they believed not for joy and wondered after all that was done. And then the Lord Jesus perceives that there is still doubt that is living in their heart. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. What is the significance? Well, a spirit does not eat. And thus the Lord Jesus says, I will eat some food before you. And then you may receive a solid confirmation that it is indeed I myself. Thus an undoubtable proof of the resurrection of that human body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was not received by request of the disciples, that was received out of the perception of Christ and his desire that they should not remain with those doubts in their heart. Then he knew the necessity that the disciples be grounded in the foundation of his resurrection from the dead. That is for all their work. That is for their own hearts, but that was also out of the knowledge of the weakness of the faith of his own disciples. He knoweth that we are dust. Paul, He says that resurrection, he speaks of that resurrection. And we may out of the doctrines know that it is for Christ himself an evidence that is received from his Father. Children, if you go to the store and you purchase something, then you will receive a little slip of paper. What is that for? You say that is a receipt. What do you do with that? Keep it? If the item you have purchased is very valuable, then that little slip of paper that is also valuable. And why? Because that receipt is proof that that item has been purchased by you. And that becomes especially valuable when there is a discrepancy, when someone will challenge you, they will say, is that legally yours, or does that still belong there on that shelf? And then you may produce out of your pocket that receipt. That receipt is given to you that you may claim that that item that has been so completely paid for, that now in the eyes of the law, that item that now belongs to you. The resurrection of Christ, that is the receipt that is received from his own Father, that price has been completely paid. Because it was impossible that Christ should rise from the dead when there was still one jot or one tittle that was owing to that price that was due for the sin of his church. What would God's people do to receive such a receipt? That price that was paid also on my own behalf. What would God's people do that they may receive a blessed assurance that forgiveness of sin that was legally belonging to myself? That is not something that a hypocritical heart has a need for. That is not what the Pharisees desired. That is not what the scribes desired. No, they had no desire to hear of the resurrection of Christ from the dead, just the opposite. They have tried to cover it. But the church that is longing for such confirmations, what does David say? He says, O Lord, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And why? It is needed in the disputes, because there are continually disputes. They come out of hell, Satan himself, to dispute with God's people of the righteousness of the possession, whether or not that possession is really theirs, and thus the blessedness and the value of receiving that consciousness of that knowledge for ourselves. The Apostle Paul speaks about the resurrection of Christ. He says he was delivered for our offenses and he was raised again for our justification. Thus, the resurrection of Christ is for the justification of his church. That does not take place in the church. It is not something that takes place in their heart, because justification is a declaration. It is a declaration by the judge concerning the forgiveness of sins. Thus, it is taking place in the court. It is taking place in the heavenly court. And yet, that justification can be known. But if it will be known, where shall it be heard? That can only be heard in the court, because that is where it takes place. Thus, there can be no knowledge of that justification unless a man is brought in the court of his own conscience before the throne of the Lord. You understand that there can be no resurrection without death, without burial. There can be no Easter without Good Friday. Thus, the experience in the soul of Christmas and the experience of Easter, they are in this regard different. There is a difference between the revelation of Christ and the application. Not that we do not use those terms sometimes in general ways, that the Lord reveals himself, or we speak about the application of his word. But there is also, by a special use of those words, a reference to the experience of the soul. Then we speak about the revelation of Christ, and we speak about the application of Christ. That in the revelation of Christ, that he is revealing, that he is opening up to a soul the blessed mediator, that he shows to him, that he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That he is opening a possibility when it has become for that soul impossible. Thus, that Savior is revealing himself by times in the life of his people. But what is it that we call the application? Well, the application that is referring to the knowledge of the forgiveness of my sins, that is referring to a man being brought in the court of his conscience before the Lord, and to hear the sentence of God the Father as his judge. Thus we can have much hope, we can receive the promise of a surety, and we can hope in him, but before that a man has actually appeared in that court, that matter is not actually settled for his soul. If such would take place, is all doubt then dissipated? Is all doubt then forever taken away from such a man? It is not. Even though that people may be established in their state, Bunyan, he makes a distinction between coming to the wicket gate where Christ is revealed unto that people and coming unto the foot of the cross. Thus, he makes a distinction between the revelation of Christ and the application of Christ. And in that application, Then we read there are two things that appear together for that man. And that was that cross and that sepulcher. Because the one that cannot be without the other. And you read when the Lord has given the application in the life of that Christian. Then Bunyan says, then his burden, which he has asked goodwill at the gate if he would take away, and it was refused. But then we see in the application how that burden of sin is falling off his shoulders, and we read that it goes down into the sepulcher. Thus is the experience of that church in the application. That the resurrection of Christ, that is the burial, the complete burial of all their iniquity. Bunyan, he speaks about three shining ones in that moment. And then we can only think about the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The first says to him, peace be unto thee, thy sins be forgiven thee. That is congregation, the work of the judge that Bunyan has tried to lay out. The second has stripped him of his rags and he has clothed him with a new garment. And the third, he has set a mark in his forehead. And he has given to him a roll with a seal upon it. And he was admonished to look in that roll and to bring that roll and hand it in at that celestial gate. Thus, it is those portions of the Word of God that are particularly sanctified unto that church, that they may receive from the Lord His own Word, and that they may bring that Word continually back unto the Lord in their life. And when that last day and that judgment is appearing, then that Word, they will be able also to say, O Lord, remember the Word unto Thy servant upon which Thou hast made me to hope. Thus, the blessed forgiveness of sins. But where does Bunyan say he went from there? Well, then we read it is not long. And he goes down into the valley of humiliation. And there is Apollyon. Oh, the condition. That state may be sure, but the condition of God's people that is changing all the while that they are here upon this world. When I was a student, then I had and one of my instructors was an elder, and he was a man who could tell you something of the knowledge of this justification for his own soul. He was at that time already an older man. And I had to speak one time for the consistory in the matter of the education, and I had read from Matthew 28, and you know what it says there, when the disciples, they come to the end finally, and when the Lord Jesus, he is ready to ascend up into heaven, and after everything has taken place and all the revelations that the Lord has given unto his people to establish that people. And now what do you read? You read, and they worshiped him, but some doubted. But some doubted. When I read those words, that old man, he suddenly burst into tears. But some doubted. O people of the Lord, who can overestimate the blessing that is pictured unto that church of God in that day of Easter. Oh, to know for our own soul what it is that all our sins, they are cast behind the back and into that sea of everlasting forgetfulness from the side of the Lord. But you know what? There still remains a difference between a church militant and a church triumphant. That difference that remains, there is a church that is here upon this world. It is a church that has to live by faith. One day, there will be no more doubting. That valley of humiliation, that is only for a little time more. And in the meantime, oh, the best assurance, that is the last visit, and therefore the blessedness of that close life unto the Lord. Congregation, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Thus, what are your troubles? You have troubles, children, young people, troubles. Why?" Ask yourself that question. The Lord Jesus asked that here in this chapter. Can maybe name so many of them in this world. You ever go to the Lord with those troubles? And what do you find? The Lord, He is so good. Oh, the Lord, He is so faithful. Then if you bow your knees, and if you have a need, oh, then you will find that the Lord, He is there to fulfill that need. Oh, do you ever feel, do you ever experience something of the goodness of the Lord in your life? But do you ever have these troubles? These troubles, whether the work of the Lord is really in your heart or no? Do you ever have that question? O Lord, is it from Thee? Or is this something that is all from myself? A trouble over the true work. You know, there are many professors in this world. They have not that trouble. There is confidence. There is assurance. And they can be such a burden sometimes, even to the people of the Lord. Because then they will say, well, then you have to believe. But it is a people who are poor in spirit. O congregation, they can be sometimes, for God's children, a thorn in their sight. But do you know what is strange to that people? They do not know the need for a confirmation of the word of the Lord, of the work of the Lord in their life. That is now strange to them, but that is the way of the church. Read the Bible from the beginning to the end, because there is a church that knows what faith is, and they also know what faith is not. Oh, the Lord, keep us from deceiving ourselves. We go to eternity. We read in the Bible that death, that is the king of terrors. What will that be to die, boys and girls? The king of terrors. And if death is the king of terrors, then what will it be to arise from the dead? To stand in judgment before the Lord of all the earth. O congregation, what shall that be? Solomon, he says, a prudent man, he foreseeth the evil, and he hideth himself. But the simple, they pass on and are punished. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, bless Thou Thy word. Humble us under Thy goodness. Show us the need that our sin may be forgiven and that we may receive the proof of it in our own soul. that we may receive that peace and that comfort from Thee, that Thou Thyself would speak, "Peace be unto Thee. Behold, it is I myself." Oh, that Thou would show it unto Thy church. Confirm Thy own work, that they may believe, O Lord. Wilt Thou grant us what is necessary in the rest of this day? We acknowledge Thee for the strength to bring Thy word this hour. Wilt Thou forgive and take away our many sins? Be Thou the after speaker of Thy word. And wilt Thou help us in the week to come, each one in our place in this world? We lay before Thee once again our confession class students, and when they will appear before us as a consistory, and wilt Thou give them calmness, and wilt Thou give what is necessary to bring forth all the things that they have learned, and give yet a good hour together in Thy favor. Remember all that have needs in this week. Give cries to Thee, and that experience that Thou livest, that men may be drawn to seek Thee for the need of their soul. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 420 stanzas 3 and 5. Sing praise, Thou chosen Israel, who with the folds of sheep dost dwell. Thou art God's joy and treasure. 3 and 5 of Psalter 420. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.